The Calcio Podcast, episode 110. Listeners, ciao. Thanks for tuning in. Sam Adamo coming at you. An exciting podcast this week. We are back for the first time in 2021. We are very excited to present a whole new year of content. And we're kicking it off with a special guest appearance from Rahul Sharma, aka Uncle Sharma of YouTube and Twitter, big time Inter content creator, who we're very happy to have join us this week in place of Nick Gianoletti, who's going to be missing out the next couple of weeks temporarily. So this episode will have a little bit more of a Nerazzurro flavor to it ahead of the Derby d'Italia. We'll chat about some recent happenings at Inter, some possible financial troubles, some recent injuries, some poor results, and their kit being at the scene of the crime at the Capitol building last week in Washington, D.C., that and so much more, plus a whole take on Roberto D'Aversa's reappointment in Parma. Kyle Kraus, the club's American owner, is fully embracing Italian culture and going back to his ex in a matter of months. So we'll discuss that. In addition to some Juve news, some praise for Roma, and a crazy Heroes Thrones of the Week section featuring a smashed Ferrari. And we have an unreal five-a-side. A five-a-side that Sharma was actually pushing for. It's the five-a-side of guys who belong on Love Island or any trash reality TV show. A lot of fun doing this one, and I think a lot of them were actually like bang on. This is probably the most accurate five-a-side that we've done in a long time. So sit back, relax, and enjoy, listeners. Without further ado, let's get into this week's podcast. We're back, baby, and we are excited to be back. Pino, take it away. Dai, let's go.
Però Catenazzo, che donna sei. Io delle donne non mi fido, il corteggiamento è un rito, troppo spesso si finisce che una donna ti tradisce. E non mi importa se son bionde, non mi importa se son more, a me basta che siano tonde e disposte a far l'amore. Io da bambino veramente fui cacciato dalla scuola perché la professoressa mi faceva molto gola quando facevo il militare, poi la moglie del tenente mi faceva le moine, Dio l'ha presa tra la gente, perciò bambina, se sono qui per te stasera è una fortuna.
Andiamo! Let's go, bro. All right, Sharma, how's it going, man?
Whoa, yeah. I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm excellent. Listeners, welcome to episode number 110 of the Calcio Podcast. Sam Adamo coming at you. I am not joined by Nick Gianoletti this week. He will be taking a little bit of a break the next couple of weeks to start off 2021. Happy New Year to you all, by the way. But yeah, Nick is going to be taking a little leave of absence for the next 2 or 3 weeks. So we will be having intermittent guests fill in whose content we appreciate. We're going to start off with a nice Jekyll to Nick's Hyde, a nice Interista to the Milanista that is Nick. From YouTube and Twitter, Calcio community fame, dare I say, it's Uncle Sharma at R Sharms on Twitter, who we must state for the record was very explicit in his request to come out on the podcast to JB Schofield. So we can only grant the man his request. Sharma, how's it going?
Not too bad, man. Not too bad. Honored to be on to the premium, most premium culture podcast out there.
Hey, it is the cultural podcast. We are the one and only freaking cultural podcast, bro. Yo, so do we go by Sharma? Is that what we're sticking with? Does your full name have to remain anonymous? Are we gonna go by the online profile?
No, my full name's not anonymous. It's just Sharma's good, Uncle's good, or my actual name Rahul is good. Whatever you want, mate.
All right. Well, Rahul Sharma, aka Uncle Sharma, is probably the guy in the English cultural community that gets our humor the most, and whose humor I think we appreciate the most, even though he pulls for the wrong team from a Sam and Nick point of view. It's always good to get some ulterior points of view on. So we had to give the man an appearance. It was long overdue. We've been discussing this for a little while now, and we're happy that we can get you on now. So welcome, man.
I'm glad to be on, man. It's been a long time coming.
So how you feeling? This week? So first of all, this podcast is being recorded on Wednesday, the 13th of January. So this is coming off the back of a very tumultuous week for Inter in the league and a wild Coppa Italia match against Fiorentina, which you needed extra time to finish them off in. There's Coppa Italia action this week, some of which has happened, some of which hasn't. As a result, we're going to focus a little more on Serie A, but it's very fresh. Where's your mind at?
Well, yeah, literally just before I came on, I finished watching that. I did my post-match reaction, and yeah, just painful, man. Painful to watch. Just absolute dross of a match. And thank the Lord for Romelu Lukaku. His existence is literally dragging us through some of these matches. And I don't know where Antonio Conte would be without big Rom. He's been our best signing of recent history. I'm just glad we're through to the next round, because it would have been embarrassing after Milan yesterday went through. You know, they needed penalties as well, but this Fiorentina team is not good. They stink. So yeah, it would have been embarrassing.
I was going to say, though, to be fair, Milan did need penalties against a terrible Torino side. And I think, you know, I know we're just coming off of a holiday break, but it's a pretty congested match week schedule, I should say. I mean, there were midweek games last week for La Befana at the weekend, and now midweek again in the Coppa is a lot. You know, three games coming at you in a 7-8 day period is tiresome. That's one thing I think we can't ignore. I think it does level the playing field a little bit when a side like Inter, who's obviously, you know, head and shoulders above Fiorentina, struggles a little bit. I really do believe that when you have to go guns blazing in a title race, and when you don't want to fizzle out of the Coppa super early, you've got to, while rotation is important, you've got to rely on some guys that you're going to know are going to give you some firepower. So they get tired. We saw it yesterday. Milan couldn't really do anything for 90 minutes and only squeak by the skin of their ass. And now we saw it again today with you guys. I wouldn't beat yourselves up too much over it. I'd be more worried about the results in the league.
Yeah, no, that definitely. That was the thing, because it would have been nice to just get it done. Even if we lost, it would have been nice to get it done in 90 minutes. But now, you know, we had to go to 120 minutes. You know, we had to bring on the guys that we were supposed to be resting, like Barella was supposed to be resting, Brozovic was supposed to be resting, Lukaku, Hakimi. So we needed, it seems like we just can't get things done without our starters. It seems like, you know, with Milan, it seems like, you know, they could still bring in the likes of, you know, Kalulu, these like young players, Brahim Diaz, they can still seem to just about do the job. But with Inter, it seems like we have to bring on Lukaku, Hakimi to get the job done, which is a bit worrying. And yeah, not great going into the Juve match if you know, with the injuries we have and the lack of rest. But Juve have got their issues as well. I've seen, you know, you guys got a few guys out as well at the moment. So no excuses for Antonio Conte this time around. I don't want to hear bollocks. I don't hear any bollocks from him after the match.
Well, that's a given. You know, you're going to hear some shit if you guys lose, if and when. I'll put it out in the universe. Sorry. You know, you could touch wood if you want, but you know that if the result doesn't go your way, you know you're going to hear a fucking ton of excuses about the mercato. But
Antonio.
But you mentioned, bro, you mentioned Milan and their young players. I don't know if you saw the stat this week that apparently they've, I mean, head and shoulders above the rest of the competition, given the most minutes to under 21 players this year. I think to the tune of like 6,000 some odd minutes. When the next highest team, whoever it may have been, I can't see.
I think it was Inter.
It might have been Inter,
but I think it's Bastoni carrying through.
Yeah, no, hard. But there were a slew of teams that had only given. Under 21 players somewhere in the region of 1,000 and change minutes. I mean, they've absolutely killed in that category. It was a wild stat. I mean, but we forget how young their team is. We forget how young that Milan team is. That's the one thing that I think Milan fans can take from this season, even if they don't wind up winning the title, is things are looking up. Whereas with Conte, I don't know. If you guys don't win it, I mean, I feel like with the transfers you guys are trying to make and the fact that he's trying to bring in guys that he thinks are proven, the only thing that you guys are looking to do is win right now. And there isn't much upside for the future with much of the current side that you guys have. Not all of it, but much of it.
Yeah, no, it is definitely the way that we've gone about business, as you said. Yeah, Arturo Vidal, Kolarov, instead of, you know, the rumors of Tonali, Kumbulla, all these other, were supposed to be our original strategy under Suning and the Marotta. It seems like it's changed. It seems like, you know, it seems like they've succumbed to Antonio Conte's demands. It seems like Antonio Conte is the sporting director of Inter, which is like, that's the worst thing you can do. Give Antonio Conte the free reign, as we've seen from the Chelsea team. They still has remnants of Antonio Conte's work. And yeah, Juventus. And he's just, his choice of players is so like, I don't get it. Like, he's just the worst choice of like, judge of talent. Like, he just, I don't understand where he gets his judgment of players.
So another reason why we wanted to have you on this week, Sharma, is because the Derby d'Italia is this weekend, Juve versus Inter, which is why we're going to focus very heavily on your side. And again, we'll be discussing them at length throughout this episode. But I first want to preview what might be to come on Sunday. We will do a little bit of review, but I think it's let's you know, occhio davanti. You mentioned Arturo Vidal. You had a tweet. How's he getting sent off on Sunday? There are four options that you gave. Two-footed tackle on Chiesa, choking out Bonucci, spitting on Pirlo, or other. Comment below. What is your pick? I voted for a two-footed tackle on Chiesa. Do you agree? By the way, currently that's the runaway option over 400 votes, I believe, at time of writing. So actually, no, way fucking more votes than that. This was a day ago. So I mean, but still a pretty large sample size. Think that a two-footed tackle is a surefire bet. Do we agree?
Oh yeah, I mean, I know you're a Juve fan, but you must agree that Federico Chiesa has the most punchable face in the Serie A.
Yeah, big nose. I could see that. I could totally see that.
And his attitude and the way he dives, and just, yeah, he's just got this like annoying way about him. I can't put my finger on it, but you just know, even on the street, if you see him, you're just like, what a dick.
He does look like a bit of a cunt, doesn't he?
Yeah.
If you cross him on the street, he looks like he would, you know what? He looks like he would wear fucking ill-fitting jeans. I don't know. There's something about him. His look sucks.
It's funny you say that. I've seen interviews of Fiorentina players who say that he's the worst dressed in the dressing room.
I so believe that. Yeah. He strikes me as a guy that would dress like it's 2005, but yeah, like now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
He wears trackies all day.
Looks like he belongs in like an Eastern European like indie movie almost. Like a Romanian porn film or something. You ever seen like Eastern European film?
I've seen a Serbian film.
It's like I think he fits the vibe. You get a lot of skinny men with big noses and bowl cuts.
Yeah, bowl. It's the bowl cuts that gets me. Like, it's just like finishes off like the full dick outfit.
That's it. I totally see that. That's a great call. I'm not mad at you. I mean, I'm not mad at you for that at all. If there's anyone who he's gonna 2-foot tackle, I mean, it'll probably be Chiesa. Just dipsy doodling, fucking running into the corner. Yeah. I don't disagree with that. It'll be interesting to see what happens, man, because the title is really getting interesting, as Juve have heated up the past week and a half. Again, let's not get too carried away. They've won three matches in a row. It's not the end of the world, but I mean, they beat Milan last week. This is the first pod that we're coming at you guys with since Christmas. So, you know, Nick's not here. I won't focus on that game too much. It's already a week in the rearview mirror. Discussed it at length on the Turin Giants podcast. If any Juventini want to hear my take on it, you can go ahead. But fuck me, it was a good result. That was a really positive match. And, you know, currently we've got a game in hand. And as a result, I mean, this is the definition of a fucking 6-point game against Inter. Currently, Inter are on 37 points with 17 matches played. Juve have 16 matches played and are on 33 points. So a win puts us within a point of you guys, but with a game in hand. So, you know, puts Juve basically in control of their own destiny. And I think again, the fact that you guys will have then gone three matches winless in Serie A could come in on you guys, man. It's a big, I don't mean to be overdramatic, but when shit gets bad with Antonio Conte and he starts playing the blame game, I feel like he loses the room.
Yeah, no, definitely. And Inter have a history of like January being the worst month, and that's the month that usually fucks us. And yeah, if we get another loss against Juve, like last year, it was the two Juve matches that showed to me that we're not there yet. We lost both those matches,
yeah,
quite, you know, easily. Mm-hmm. Sarri ball never happened throughout the year, but those two matches against Inter, Sarri ball was in full flow. So maybe Pirlo Bowl will be like even better this year. But yeah, these are the matches where I'm going to judge Inter, like, you know, the Roma match, you know, the Champions League matches obviously didn't work out. But the Juve matches, the derbies that are left, these are where I judge Inter. Clearly, we're able to beat, you know, the lower teams nowadays, apart from, you know, obviously we lost to Sampdoria recently, but we can see that nowadays we're pretty, you know, able to beat the lower teams. But the big matches is where Antonio Conte has like, you know, not been good enough since he's been at Inter. So that's where I'm really, really like looking closely to see if we have improved from last season, because we're at the moment, we're, I think, 4 or 5 points less than we were at last season at this point. So at the moment, we're worse than we were last season, even though we've supposed to be improved. Yeah, we have improved the squad. So yeah, there's still some work out there to be done. But as I've said since the start of the season in my preview, the Serie A start of the season, Pirlo being the Juve coach, you know, he's just coming back off making wine in the Tuscan countryside or wherever he was. So he's not even a full-time coach. You know, Milan, yes, they're doing amazing. But yeah, as we said, the youngest team in the league. So, you know, there's only so far youthfulness can take you. And yeah,
you know,
this has to be the year for Conte.
And you know what? So again, Juve are coming into this game really hot now. And I want to talk a little bit about the Sassuolo game. We beat him 3-1, and it was actually a pretty tough, tight game, because going into the second half, it was 0-0. And despite going down to 10 men, Sassuolo actually pegged one back after Danilo scored a fantastic opener. And we required some late heroics from Aaron Ramsey to get the result in the 82nd minute. Ronaldo scored at the death, which was very good for him and his confidence, because when Cristiano wins a game but doesn't score a goal and feels like he should have, I think he's really pissed off. And I think even though he's not as much of a cunt as he was when he was 23 years old, I think that he's a much better team player now than he was then. I think he's certainly a lot more positive in the public sphere. I think everyone knows he's a fucking savage who just wants to be the best. And if he feels like he's not scoring, he's personally pissed off. So late goal for him, which was great. But I mean, he fluffed a chance one-on-one with the keeper, with Consigli. Yeah, it didn't look like it was going to be an easy game, man. It really didn't look like we were going to get the result late on when shit just wasn't going our way. So the fact that we were able to pull it out is very big, because I think it's indicative of maybe a bit of a shifting of the tide, where earlier in the season we weren't able to close out matches, which is why we had so many tight matches, which resulted in draws. But I want to focus on Danilo real quick, because you had a really good take on Twitter as well, that the Cancelo Danilo swap is probably one of the few cases that legitimately each team was better off for it. And I agree with you. Honestly, I'm starting to agree with it now, because Danilo has converted into a center back, as well as, you know, having the ability to play as a fullback as he always has. He's had a fantastic season. He's been very solid. He's probably been our best defender. And, you know, those are things that Joao Cancelo couldn't really offer, was defensive responsibility. But meanwhile, Joao Cancelo has really come into his own at City, something which Danilo really couldn't do, probably because he didn't have quite the same level of flair that Cancelo did. And maybe as a result, even though he's not a bad technical player, he couldn't quite fit into that Guardiola system. You're joining. I forgot to mention, you're joining us from what I assume is full fledged lockdown in Leicester, in the UK. So yeah, obviously you're pretty close to the Prem. And I know that you follow it in addition to Serie A. That was a good take, man. That was a fucking bang on observation by you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure someone would bring it back up, re-quote Twitter when Danilo makes a mistake in a game. But yeah, it's taken a while, though. I feel like, you know, Danilo last year, it didn't seem like he was a hit when under Sarri, and Cancelo wasn't even getting into the team at Man City last year. But this year, as you said,
yeah, bang on. It took a year. Yeah,
Danilo's like, you know, bang, you know, star. He might have even overtaken Cuadrado now in the ranking. Would you
believe? I'd hope so. Unfortunately, I think Pirlo still likes playing with Cuadrado quite a fair bit, and we'll continue to use him as a wing back over Chiesa, something which I'm not as much.
He's so annoying, though. He's good, but he's also like he's got those chicken head moments.
Yeah, well, he's terrible. That's the thing. Like he's had a good year, but he's awful. He's terrible. he doesn't pass the eye test. You know what I mean? So I discussed this on Turin Giants last week, and a bunch of Juventini roasted me in a poll that the host, that our host Farhad posted, but he really poorly worded it. He asked if Cuadrado had been integral to our success this season. I put success in, you know, in air bunnies, because I don't know that we've even had success in, I think 87%, 83% of people said yes, 17% of people said no. I would have just said point blank, is he good? Is he good enough? And I think you would have got a more overwhelming number of people that would have said no. But yeah, sorry, tangent, side note. you were talking about Danilo. I do want to say though, there's a very good chance now that we're going to lose to you on the weekend. He's going to score an own goal, and Chris Cauchy is going to just superimpose my face onto a Curb Your Enthusiasm where I'm just saying, yeah, you know, Daniel has been excellent. He's been our best defender. And then just
written in the stars.
Cut away to Larry David. But what can I say? He's had a fucking terrific year. So Dybala is going to be out for the next couple of weeks. Morata is back. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Who the fuck knows with a COVID bug now, having struck a couple of guys in the side. De Ligt is already out. We'll see what the squad is looking like in a few days. But it'll be interesting, man. It'll be really, really interesting. I do want to talk about a couple of Juventini abroad. I mean, just a really random side note. So you're in lockdown right now. The UK is, as I understand, what are you like stage 4 out of 3?
Tier 5.
It's tier 5 out of there were 4 tiers initially, and now they created
an extra one. It's tier 4+1. It's like the Zamorano.
Yeah. And you were like, and wasn't Leicester like the one area that was most afflicted by COVID into the summer, while everyone else was out in like Mykonos, Ibiza partying and shit? And you guys still had a fucking curfew.
Yeah, back in like May, June, I think we were the only city in England to have a full lockdown. It was like that Simpsons episode where they put a bubble over the top of Springfield.
So, just a throwback. I had this random thought today. Remember back in, was it March or April, when the world found out that Daniele Rugani tested positive for COVID, and everyone was like, oh my God, he's going to die. A footballer was afflicted by it. He was the first top flight footballer to get afflicted by it. And it was fucking Daniele Rugani, of all players.
His immune system just as weak as him.
Yeah, I mean, look at him. He looks gaunt as hell, and his girlfriend looks like an absolute psycho. Probably never gives him any.
Apparently, can't even get minutes out in France at the moment.
Never gives him any rest. Well, I can't say I'm surprised. And a reason I thought of this is because his Rennes side played against Mattia De Sciglio's Lyon at the weekend. Oh my god, one of the probably the pinnacle of lowlight reels that I've seen in a couple of years. I mean, this is incredible. You listeners, you got to look this up. I don't know that I'll make a point of retweeting this, but Jesus Christ. So at Calcio Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, if you're new to the pod, check us out again. Sharma at R Sharms. It's, by the way, it's R SHARMZZ. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. So, yeah, get at us on Twitter. But fuck me, I'll retweet it. But my God, one of the worst low-light reels I've seen in a long time. I mean, as you said, Kedro Gatore, I swear to God, Nick hates when I say this. I play as a fullback, okay? I think I would have had a better game than him.
No, honestly,
it's mental. It's all in the brain, man.
Yeah,
he's not a, you know, he could probably do more keepy uppies than me if we were doing it for an hour and we wanted to see who would drop the ball first. He's a better technical player than me, but it's in his head. It's in his head. If I told myself that I had the biggest dick in the world going into that game, I'd have a better game than him. I'm 23. Yeah, I play fucking fourth division in Canada. Who the fuck am I? I mean, what happened? And again, look, I don't care. He's not a Juve player anymore, but what happened, man? People used to say this guy was the next Maldini, because he was like 18, 19, starting, getting minutes at Milan in the banter era. Everyone thought he was like the one redeeming factor that they had after El Shaarawy left. And after El Shaarawy started getting injured and fell off a cliff, I should say, he didn't leave for a while. Maybe it was indicative of how bad the fucking team was. I don't know, but Thank you for pointing me. Thank you for pointing that out to me. By the way, Nick had already sent it to me, but you're spot on. I'm happy we're on the same page. So you saw this highlight reel that I'm talking about, right? Can you describe it? Like, just missed passes from 5 yards away, and
yeah, it was just a compilation. You'd think it was like over a season, but it was actually one match.
That's the thing. I thought it was over the course of the season today, and I was like, my God, he's really not. You know, he's really not. The league is making a meal out of him. And then, fuck me, I noticed it was the same opponent. It was the same opponent, and the time ticker was just going up. It was consistent. It was chronological. I couldn't believe it. Shocking. So, again, I'll tweet that out. So, yeah, to many more. New year, same Mattia, unfortunately. Sharma, did you also see, by the way, I want to start off real quick. So it'd be a little cruel of me to give him my Strons of the Week. But since we're kind of trending in that direction, I want to give my Strons of the Week to the Interista who stormed the Capitol building in Washington. I don't know if you saw. So there were thousands of people that stormed Washington last week. Very controversially entered the U.S. Senate hearing. We'll keep this apolitical, but there are 32 teams in the Champions League. There are 20 teams in Serie A. There are countless pro clubs around the world that are recognizable brands, and only one of them was repped in the Capitol building that day, and that was your club. What do you have to say for yourself? It's a Peng jersey, though, to be fair.
Yeah, that's the wavy kit from last year, the third kit, the one with the yellow Pirelli logo. But we're coming back. That's a sign that Inter's coming back, guys.
Storming, man. It's a siege. You're fucking sieging back, baby. It's a good omen. That Pirelli logo, by the way, that Pirelli sponsorship deal is incredible, and it's timeless. How long have I think that deal may be older than me?
Yeah, I think it's been 20 years. 20 years they've been around. I think because the Pirelli owner, he's a shareholder in Inter. He owns like a few percent. So that's why I think they keep renewing it, because he's got the power in the board.
Mate, what is going on at Inter, though, man? I mean, there were rumors this week that apparently Ericsson's agent didn't have his commission fee paid out. I don't know if you saw this shit, man. Mm-hmm. Apparently you guys are having difficulty paying outstanding debts. That's not a good omen right now. I don't know if Antonio Conte is ever gonna get canned. I mean, I think he could fucking get relegated. I don't know that you could afford to fire him at this point. It's not a great situation from everything I'm hearing. I assume you follow the news a little more than me. Maybe you'd like to enlighten us as to what's going on, but I've heard some really fucking sus shit about difficulty in making payments.
Well, the thing is, there's a few teams. So there's four or five teams that haven't paid wages since like September. So I think like it's just the media kind of exaggerates. I think there's a few teams. Juve managed to get around it because you guys agreed a deal with your players to take a wage cut when the lockdown first happened. So that's how you guys got around it. But there's a few teams like I can't remember off the top of my head now, like Genoa, Bologna, like there's other teams that Napoli especially as well. Yeah, so it's not just something that's afflicting Inter. It's just the cash flow situations. The football is like probably Nick, as the accountant, will tell you, of all the guys that, you know, football is the one industry
that guy.
Where you know revenue and the cost of staff is like almost as high as your revenue. Like, I mean, every other, you know,
it's the one sport. It's the one business. Sports is the one business where you don't want to make a profit, because if you do, you're undercutting the product.
Yeah.
So
usually, you know, in businesses, the cost of staff is like, you know, 20-30% of the revenue, but in football is usually like 60-70% of your revenue. Mm-hmm. And the revenue this year is crazy low. But the thing is mainly to do with China. Inter's owners are Chinese, Suning, and the Chinese government, as you know, Communist Party, they have power over companies. There's not like, you know, it's not a free market. It's not, you know, capitalistic. You know, if the Chinese government says you're not allowed to spend money abroad, then you're not going to spend money abroad.
I understand. I see how it is. So basically, Inter fans now storm the Capitol building, talk about how the media overblows everything, and rally against the Chinese government. I see what this is. It's all good. Hey, it's a free world, man. Danilo D'Ambrosio was injured last week, by the way. Very concerning. I think he's so underrated for you guys. And I believe results are still pending. I'm actually concerned as an Italian who wants to see him play for the Azzurri this summer. Nick would have a go at me if I said that, but I actually like what he offers back post on set plays, and I think he's a very consistent presence.
He's actually the best player in the world at that far post run. Like, it's actually a fact. Like, pretty much every single one of his, he scored like 7 goals in 2020, and I think 6 out of 7 of those have been those drifting far post runs.
Just again, there's not much you could say to it. I'm not, but just want to point out, he fucking got injured, and I think it's bad news for you guys. I really do. I really do think that you're going to miss that experience at the back, especially when, listen, any injury is not good right now. You want as much depth as possible. We're talking about how the schedule is really congested, but I actually believe him to be a key player for you guys. Something which some people think I'm nuts about saying. I know Nick would say that. I think it's because he doesn't watch you guys enough, which I understand. He doesn't like seeing the colors. Fine, fair, but it's undeniable.
We're not a great team to watch, so he's not missing out.
But yeah, I don't know if you agree. Am I nuts? Am I overblowing things? You watch them a hell of a lot more than either of us do.
He's very important to the team. Maybe not as much as he used to be, especially now because we play. He's not athletic enough anymore to play the wing back position. He hasn't got the pace. He seems to have lost like a yard or two of pace. Obviously, he's like 31 years old. But yeah, in terms of personality, that, you know, that far post, the running ability, you see, he'll score vital goals. He's decent, like on the ball. You know, he's not technically the best player, but yeah,
he's actually well suited for the centre back position, though.
Yeah, yeah. So as a third centre back, yeah, I think that's probably the perfect position for him. But yeah, you know, he'll be missed, and especially as today we had to play Skriniar, we couldn't rest De Vrij as well. So yeah, he's really vital. We're gonna miss him.
I don't know if you I don't know if you saw Di Marco, Federico Di Marco's really 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 beautiful goal at the weekend for Hellas Verona, in the build up play and then just in the finish outside the foot, fucking left foot in the bottom corner.
One the week before, he scored that volley,
bro. He's tearing it up, and our boy Nima had a really good tweet. He was saying Di Marco tearing it up on the left flank as Inter play musical chairs with Darmian, Ashley Young, and Perisic. I'm surprised with the random slew of players that Conte likes to play at fullback that he actually stopped playing Danilo D'Ambrosio as a fullback. Although he doesn't have that one thing that he really likes, which is not that he's not fit, but this kind of up and down pace. But my God, that's a kick in the dick, man. That's a kick in the dick, man. When you're going out and signing Ashley Young, who's what, 34 years old.
He's 35 now.
Is he 35? Holy shit. And I mean, the fact that you've still got Perisic, again, he's a really good player, but you could have cashed in on him. That would have been, I think that would have been essential. I'm surprised that you kind of got cucked on that one. He went and won the title with, he won the fucking Champions League title with Bayern. Trouble. And he came back to you guys to play as a fullback. And he came back to you guys to play as a fucking fullback and compete for minutes alongside Matteo Darmian. Yeah, I don't know. Federico Di Marco's a guy who I was always curious as to why he never wound up cutting it with you guys, because he actually, unlike a lot of the times you'll send out a young guy on loan, he actually got a lot of minutes wherever he went, with Parma and then with Verona.
Yeah, I think it's just his height. He's like, he's quite small for a defender. I think it just, old school Italian mentality, just, you know, oh yeah, troppo basso, he's too short. But you know, yeah, as you said, like, he's been getting minutes. It's not like this season was his breakthrough season with Verona. He had a good season last year, and yeah, it's a kick in the dick, because that's the position where we most need someone. Like, we literally, Ashley Young and Perisic are not even proper wing back, so having an actual left footed.
Everyone's a wing back, man. It's Conte. Everyone can play as a wing back. That's the fucking point. Okay. But speaking of wide men for Inter, just to kind of close out this Nerazzurri segment, I want to give a hero of the week to Maicon. I don't know if you saw. He fucking signed for Serie A D side. He's 39 years old. I forgot he was even on the face of the earth. I didn't even realize he was playing football. But unreal. I mean,
he saw Inter finally sign his replacement in Hakimi, so he was like, all right, I'll show you.
You gotta think that City D is semi pro. The facilities suck dog shit, and they don't pay much. I think he's playing for what's the team's name? Fanno?
Sona.
Sonna, that's what it is. I knew it was two syllables, and I knew there was an O and an A in it. Bro, he he's coming back to Italy. He's a 39-year-old. I mean, just that's a hard sell on your family. That's a hard sell on your family. The guy has a wife and kids, and they're like finally settled in Brazil. We're going to go back to Italy amid the fucking COVID pandemic so that I can go around the regions of fucking Emilia Romagna and Umbria to play against part-time fucking mechanics. I mean,
the game, man.
I mean, kudos, but just unreal story. I mean, no, again, complete hero of the week moment for me, but
imagine him selling that to his wife, like, real. Darling, you know what Zlatan did? Yeah. You know how he went back to Milan when he's 39 years old? Yeah.
Yeah. So I have an offer to go back to Italy. Yeah. In fucking City of D. What?
500 euro a week, or even if that.
Not even gonna pay for a fucking Chanel bag on like four weeks' wages for the old lady. We gotta look that up. Is he married? If he's a bachelor, that's an ultimate bachelor play. Ultimate bachelor play. Just, whatever the fuck. Yeah, I'm getting. Imagine getting.
Where is Sona? Like, what city is that?
I'm gonna look it up. But imagine.
Like, if it's like near a big city, then I can see it. I can see it being a strategic, tactical move from him.
If he is a bachelor, though, I mean, if he is a bachelor who's a former player for Asilasau, a former Brazilian international global superstar living in Brazil as a bachelor. I mean, for him to get fed up. Sorry?
He had a bit of a reputation at Inter as well for being, you know, a party boy.
Well, I was going to say, if fucking Maicon is getting tired of Brazilian booty to come back to Italy, you know that he's been tearing it up. But again, I don't want to start any rumors here. Again, I know I'm the wife guy. I need to know what's what. I need to know who's who. Let me confirm real quick.
Bundesliga.
Mate, there's no personal life section on Wikipedia, so I don't know. Wife, it appears he might have been married at one point. I have a really good article here entitled Maicon in the center of a never mind. I thought the article title was Maicon at the center of a shock with his wife, and I was like, well, what the fuck is the shock? He's married. Okay. Good for her. Good for her. Good for him for having somebody that'll fucking go to the end of the world with him. Where is Sonna? Sonna, Italy. Bro, it's gotta be like fucking on the outskirts of Milan. I guarantee you, no. It's on the outskirts of Milan. So, nope. Province of Verona. Provincia di Verona. So he's really in the boonies. He's really in the boonies. So good for him, man, for getting back with it. Some other news. Leo Duarte has left Milan to go to Istanbul Basaksehir. The man has made 9 appearances for Milan. Nick had a lot to say about this because he kind of went on a little bit of a Wikipedia. He went down a Wikipedia rabbit hole, and he was enchanted by the guy's personal life section, which says that on September 24th, 2020, he tested positive for COVID-19, and that's his whole section. That's the only thing that we know of a personal nature about the guy. So, and to be honest, I was reflecting on it, and I realized, you know what? I actually know nothing about this guy, and I forgot he was even a fucking human being. I forgot he existed at all, and I don't know that I ever saw him play, ever. And I don't know if you saw it, bro. The guy went through, I think, 4 different hairstyles in the last year, culminating in him shaving his head off, completely having an identity crisis of self, and just having a complete like quarter life crisis at Milan, just absolutely unreal. Guy went to Istanbul Basaksehir, and he was touted as being the next Thiago Silva. Apparently, apparently sporting directors didn't even scout him. I think they referred to this guy Serginho, this Serginho fella. Okay. Who I'd never heard of, but Nick was speaking of, like, Serginho recommended him to Milan, and apparently we signed him on a whim like that.
Their former player.
Did he used to play for them? I have no idea who the fuck he is.
Yeah, Serginho.
I have no idea.
The fullback, I think he was.
More 97. How old is the guy?
Oh, yeah, he's from the older Milan team. Come on, bro.
So I don't even know. I don't know, man. Serginho. I don't know. Just, well, anyway, the guy's got no fucking credibility anymore. Imagine putting your balls on the line saying you got to sign this guy. He's the guy. Don't even bother. Just, I give you my word. My balls. Here are my balls. I'm handing them to you. You do what you want with them. And just within a year, you fucking ship them off. We'll never take a call from the guy again. Poor motherfucker. But yeah, the Bald excellence continues. Obviously, big loss for them last week, but a win at the weekend over Marco Giampaolo. I gotta say, I was really disappointed that Marco Giampaolo's Torino side didn't beat them in the Coppa yesterday. It would have been very cool to see a side getting relegated go all the way in the Coppa. It would have been like Wigan Athletic in the FA Cup in 2013. Throwback.
Il maestro Giampaolo.
I mean, so look. A big moment this week that we have to discuss was Parma appointing Roberto D'Aversa as manager again, firing Fabio Liverani. If you'll recall, Kyle Kraus a few months ago, their new owner was going on about how, you know, he's very proud to bring in a man like Fabio Liverani, who's a visionary. And currently, Fabio Liverani has had two jobs in the last year, both of which he finished in the relegation zone. Apparently, he's a super committed ideologue who's really committed to his ways. Now, I don't know, but at a certain point, when do you stop dying by your ideology if it puts you in the relegation zone two consecutive jobs and it obviously doesn't work? What's the sell for this guy for his next job? Is the sell, I'm going to change the way you guys play. I know exactly how I want football to be played. This is how I believe it should be played. I'm going to present you with this vision. Hire me, it works. Because that obviously doesn't work.
I don't know. He clearly changed his style of play. Because I remember when they came to the San Siro, they defended. They went full terrorist. You played like a 4-3-3, and then when he came to the San Siro, it was five at the back and just counterattack with Gervinho up front. So he clearly, when it was squeaky bum time, he was ready to change, but probably too late. You know, too little, too late. So. Yeah, it's funny with these coaches, you know, you can't blame them for having, you know, a style of play and sticking by it. But yeah, there has to be a certain point where you have to like rethink maybe this idea doesn't work, or you can't do it with any team. You can't just go to Parma, who have bloody, you know, Juraj Kutska and Jasmin Kurtic in midfield. You're not going to play tiki-taka football with those two guys. So you have to try to adapt to the players you have.
Now, here's the thing. I think... this was always going to happen. I'm sorry. I don't know if you remember how it ended with Roberto D'Aversa, but I think it was like some really public breakup where he said that the love was gone and the affection was gone or something like that. I think the official on record account is that he left the role. Okay. And the club thanked him for his service, but he said, my love for the club is now gone. Well, he's back. He seems to be loving the club. I don't know if you saw his presentation picture. Absolutely incredible. He looks absolutely chuffed to be back at Parma. He's got a look on his face like, what the fuck am I doing here? He's just dead serious, like almost giving the camera a side eye, kind of looking to the side like, what the fuck? What is this? I mean, so again, Cultural Podcast, check us out on Twitter. We tweeted about it. It's incredible. I mean, the guy obviously was upset with how things were being run, and now he kind of cucked the club. I mean, there's that word again, but they're coming back to him, like crawling back, like, please, we need you. He's like, fine, I will take the job. I will save you motherfuckers, and I will leave at the end of the year. It's probably what he's planning on doing. He's like miserable about it. He's like, fuck me. Like, I'll do it, fine. I'm doing it for my players. I'm not doing it for you. But it was a week of that. It was a week of that shit. Davide Ballardini is back at Genoa. Again. Top Gun Ballardini. I think it's the third time in the past year. The third fucking time. It's unreal. And yeah, they actually signed Kevin Strootman from Marseille. Seasoned Serie A veteran with Roma. But I'll never understand that, man. Like, what are you going to get out of Ballardini that you don't know? You know what? I think the point is actually when you rehire a Ballardini or a D'Aversa, it's because you know what you're getting with them. And you realize, you know what? Shit wasn't as bad back then. We were maybe a little ambitious to kind of force you out. Maybe it wasn't the right call.
Yeah, like that's like Italian president 101, isn't it? Like,
but he's American. He's American.
Yeah, he's learning quickly. He took the dummies Italian presidency for dummies book, and he read page one, chapter one. Rehire the guy that you just fired a few months ago. That's rule number one of being an Italian president in calcio. Ballardini is no Serie A without Ballardini, man. This is, you know, is Ballardini. You know, is Serie A now. Ballardini on the sidelines with the aviator glasses, looking like a cool motherfucker.
I saw a picture of him without sunglasses the other day, and I didn't even recognize him. It was unreal. But again, like I remember when Kyle Kraus got announced as having, you know, purchased the club. He claimed in a Midwestern American accent, as an Italian American, I'm very proud about this. You know, obviously his name's fucking Kyle Kraus, and you know, a bunch of New York Italians whose grandparents immigrated to Brooklyn 120 years ago got on their high horses and said, "You, this guy's an Italian American. What the fuck? Fuck out of here." And well, you know what? To those people, I say, I present to you Exhibit A. The guy's been Italian all along. He claims he's got Italian lineage. Well, it's fucking coming out. It's fucking coming out. Now, what kills me is you mentioned Il Maestro Marco Giampaolo. Well, the straw that broke the camel's back at Parma was when they lost to Torino, who we've been saying for the longest time have not. I mean, they've had terrible luck. They haven't been able to fucking string a win together for months. I think their last win came in the month of October in Serie A, and yet, you know, it wasn't too tall a task for them against Parma. I think that's I guess that's the new rock bottom. That is the new rock bottom, unfortunately. It's rather funny, but I think we got to look at things now and maybe consider that Parma are the new Torino. I mean, it's low hanging fruit, but that's what we do here, man. I mean, it's pure analytics. Numbers don't lie. I mean, okay, it's they're effectively the biggest loser. When the biggest loser beats you, you are now the biggest loser.
Yeah, no, there's just not much quality in both those teams. The same thing with Giampaolo is with as we just said with what's his name, the Parma coach that got fired.
Fabio Liverani. Yeah.
You're trying to play, you know, Giampaolo is known to play, you know, nice, attractive football, but you've got like the likes of, you know, Thomas Rincon as your midfield base. You know, he's not exactly a regista type player. You know, you haven't got the players to play that type of football. So it's not the right fit. You know, even just Torino picking Giampaolo wasn't the right pick unless you give him the players that he needs. And then Belotti, man, I just feel sorry for that guy. Someone needs to save that guy from Torino.
Armando Izzo is so good, though. I say it all the time, but he actually scored in that. He actually scored in that game over Parma, man. He's actually like D'Ambrosio is a center back that can score on set plays very well. And I really like this guy Single. This guy Wilfred Single, who is like 6'3", blistering pace. He's a giant. Gianelletti's been creaming in his pants over him for a little while, actually. I will give him that to his credit. I love him for his name, Singo. It just sounds unreal. It reminds me of Bingo. But
he destroyed Ashley Young when the Torino played Inter a few
years ago. He's solid. He's 18. I think he's 18 years old.
Yeah.
It's an absolute specimen. But yeah, that's so that's what's in the news. So a little, again, I already gave my hero of the week, my hero and sons of the week, excuse me, but just a little side note, I guess, to Roberto D'Aversa, who's back and who just looked absolutely just indifferent about being back at Parma. And then Parma are tweeting a quote where he's saying, "I'm very happy to be back." just incredible shit. Do you have a hero and sons of the week before we get to our five aside?
Federico Marchetti, the goalkeeper. Did you hear about that?
He's still around. fill listeners in. This is a good one.
I don't know the full story because I didn't read actually the full article. I just read the headline, but it said he took his Ferrari to the to a car wash and he came back and it was destroyed. What do you know the full story?
I don't know exactly what happened. I wasn't there, but I heard I saw the fucking title like you did.
It was just a red Ferrari, like I think it was like a 430 F430 or something, and it was just completely. I don't even know how you get it to that state. Like it was completely destroyed.
But what obviously happened was so you know this was an unreal photo op when it made like. When it made the British tabloids, when it made like Daily Mail and The Sun.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Like what obviously happened here was the mechanic or the car wash clerk took it out for a spin. Thought he could get away with it. It's the most Italian thing ever. It's the biggest fucking snake thing ever. Ok, ce lo prendo in giro. Che nessuno lo sappia. Dammi
Dammi le chiavi.
le chiavi. Yeah, exactly.
Sono da 2 minuti.
He just goes, ciao, ciao, mi serve una lavatura. Ma dammi le chiavi. Lasciami le chiavi. Non
Tranquillo, torna domani.
ti preoccupare, ci penso io. Ci penso, yeah, exactly. Come back tomorrow for a fucking car wash. Ci penso io, ci penso io. I'll think about it. Sta senza pensieri.
So yeah, he's gotta be stronzo of the week, whoever that was.
Well, you can't give it to Marquette. You feel bad for the fucking guy. I mean, so I mean, I'm looking at it right here. His hood is completely destroyed. It's caved in.
Yeah, like what kind of like driving did you have to do that? Like you have to smash it into something substantial.
Said the article claims that the worker crashed it into a safety barrier, and crashed it he did. I mean, but it actually looks like it was put in a fucking in a shredder or something. Yeah, look at that. Failed. Yeah, this is a great line. However, the employee tasked with delivering the shiny red motor to Genoa's training base failed to handle its awesome power. Marchetti's Ferrari was left a mangled mess after the worker smashed it into a safety barrier and also struck five parked cars. That is unreal. That is
Wow.
unreal. It's incredible. So who gets the strong? You can't give it to Marchetti. It's too fucking harsh.
No, yeah, I have to give it to the guy. Whoever the guy was, dammi le chiavi.
Dammi le chiavi, signor, dammi le chiavi. I like that. Okay, who's your hero of the week then?
Oh.
I can throw you one for I can throw you one if you're having a bit of a if you're having a bit of a difficult time coming up with one. It's
Yeah, go on then.
Paolo Fonseca, man. Paolo Fonseca. And I don't mean to rub it in because I know you drew Roma at the weekend, but that was never a guaranteed win for you guys. Roma have quietly had a very good season. They've quietly had a very respectable season, and they're listen, on paper, they're within striking distance of the title. I think it would be a shock if they came away with it. But they've had a pretty good run of things, and they've got Lazio at the weekend, which is obviously goes without saying an absolutely massive game. And look, Lazio have struggled this year. They've really tailed off from last season. They've not done a good enough job of closing out a lot of games. But I really do think that I really do think that if Roma can kind of keep it going for another couple of weeks and get a win in the derby. And I say that because if they lose in the derby, a draw is a draw. But if they lose in the derby, then I think all momentum is fucking lost 100%. And the players are going to curl up because that's just what happens when you're in a pressure cooker situation like that in Rome, where it's such a heated result, when it's such a heated derby and the result can sway fan sentiment toward a coach so much. I think it. But I digress. I think if they do win this game and kind of keep it going for a little while, all they have to do to prove they're legit is beat Juve in 3 weeks. They're playing Juve in a couple of weeks. Last time that we played against Roma, we drew them. I really do think that Paulo Fonseca has had a really good run, and I think he deserves credit. We don't talk about Roma enough on this pod, just because, frankly, we don't. We don't really examine a lot of teams enough on this fucking pod. I think Nick and I really focus on who's the top, but you know what? Roma are right there, and I think we need to give them a little bit of credit. I thought they played a very good Grinta filled match against you guys at the weekend.
Yeah, no, that's yeah. I guess you could give it to Fonseca. I've said it. I've always
It's a
said it.
boring hero of the week, and that was a journal hero of the week. But I was like, you know what? I was looking at the table and I was looking at the results. And Gianluca Mancini scored a goal. I saw it pop up on my Instagram. And I was like, fuck, we haven't talked about Roma for a while. Okay, I'll sneak it in somehow. So had the opportunity to there, and I had to. But they did play well.
Yeah, no, he's underrated. He's got a great hairline. You know, he's a good looking guy, no homo, but he's a good looking manager.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No,
2020,
that's not true.
2021, excuse me.
Yeah.
And
but
the one non-Italian manager that I could think of in the league currently.
yeah, that's the thing is, oh, you know, Italy seems to, instead of like, you know, progressing and having more, you know, foreign managers, it seems to be going
No,
backwards.
it just produces its own, yeah,
Yeah.
and exports them.
Yeah, he's very well dressed, but no, in terms of tactics as well, like he came in, he was supposed to be this 4-2-3-1 guy, you know, attacking football, possession based, but he's adapted it, you know, and now he plays that 3-4-2-1. he's you know, resuscitated, revived some players. Like Karsdorp was like, you know, a Finnish player, looked like, because he had those ACL injuries and he looked like he couldn't get into the team. But this year, I think he's got like 5-6 assists already. He almost went to Atalanta, I think.
It was Fonseca who decided that he wanted Karsdorp ahead of, I don't know why I just said his name in an Italian accent, Karsdorp ahead of ahead of Florenzi. He shipped out Florenzi, which was a ballsy play because he was everyone's captain. You know, everyone has he was the captain of the people. I believe he was actually captain of the side after De Rossi left. I could be mistaken, but I believe
he was.
So imagine that. Your fucking skipper who's from the city, who the people love. I mean, in a lot of ways he might have been considered untouchable, but I wonder if an Italian manager would have allowed him to leave. I genuinely do.
Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, he's done well to manage that.
But you know, Florenzi, he's done pretty well at PSG. And Karsdorp, as you said, has been fantastic for Roma. So
yeah, and then the other young players that they have in the team, Ibanez, that back line looks really good. Ibanez, Mancini, Smalling, and they got Kumbula as well. Then Spinazzola, you know, before he used to have all these injury problems, but now he looks like, you know, he plays every week, and you know, it's a big, Inter almost got him, and you know, it's a big regret. You know, as we said, left wing back is a big problem, and Spinazzola is definitely one of the best out there at the moment. Obviously, Dzeko's still going, and Mkhitaryan looks like, you know, the player that he was at Dortmund. You know,
he had a great year. He had a great fucking year so far. So
yeah,
there's a Roma talk for you. There we go. So Lazio fans are gonna be really pissed off. There's a fucking derby della capitale coming up, and we didn't discuss it at all. I guess we'll have to look back on it next week. We'll see what the result. We'll see where the result lies, and hopefully for you Lazio fans, we just completely mushed Roma. So there we go. If we didn't talk about you, it's because we didn't want to jinx you. Look, I do want to clear the record on one thing. It's very important before we get to our hero and sons of the week. Okay, you are a self-declared sworn enemy of SofaScore ratings. What's that all about?
Well, yeah, you can see that on my bio on Twitter. It's just
all about?
Not like I, you know, I don't want people to use them, but it's like, you know, it's mainly a Twitter thing where people will go on SofaScore. They won't even watch the match, so they'll just go on SofaScore, see who's got like the highest rating or the lowest rating. They'll screenshot that and just say, like, you know, to put forward their agenda. Like yesterday, I didn't even watch the Milan match, but on Twitter I was seeing the Milan fans were saying that Diogo Dalo had a bad game, and then somehow the Man United fans got a hold of that tweet and they went on SofaScore and said, and Diogo Dalo had like the best rating on Milan's team, and they were like, oh, Milan fans, you don't know football, look at our player, he's the best player in your shitty team. That's why I just hate it with a passion, that kind of mentality of, you know, I'm always about, you know, that Mourinho call, you know, you can look at stats or whatever, but, you know, eye test, you know, looking at a player the way he plays, that's how I judge a player. I don't look at what SofaScore gave him to say that he had a good or a bad match.
Oh, you guys are so in love with Mourinho even to this day, aren't you?
Oh, well, yeah. Wouldn't you be? The fucking guy brought us a treble.
He's very lovable. He's very lovable. Honestly, the Tottenham Hotspur documentary really warmed me up to him. He's so charismatic. I don't know. I gained a lot of respect for him over the past year just watching that documentary. But even just seeing how he behaved when they went to Marine FC in the FA Cup last week, an 8th division side, just incredible. Just incredible stuff. Just the level of respect that he has for the competition and stuff. I think he's, yeah. But he, you know what? I have a lot of respect for him because he came to Italy, which is a country that has such a weird way of doing football, or such a unique way of doing football, I should say. Unique in that it's different from England, where he was coming from. And he had success here. And he went to Spain, where there is also a great level of, cultural context in football, and he had success there. Not consistent, but he won a title with Real Madrid. And, you know, the fact that he's been able to kind of continue to forge out a career in England, I think it's just indicative of how he's not just, I don't know, the thing with him, and again, I know there were a lot of really negative rumors coming out of the dressing room at Man United about how he wasn't managing the players well, like, as people, but I think he really understands human interactions really well. And I think that's what allows him to be successful. Not just the fact that he's a good tactician, but the fact that he communicates with his players very well and understands context of just culture and social cues and shit. Yeah, that's what I think. Again, having never met the man, that's the impression I get, is that he's really good at adapting to the nuances of different football cultures and the relationships that come with it and the pressure that players feel. So I'm with you. I'm with you on that. There are a lot of people that don't watch football anymore, but that will just check results and who scored and who got a yellow card. I mean, it's not a game played on paper. You have to watch it, right?
Yeah.
So I think
we're going away from that a little bit.
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. We definitely are. Everyone's a fucking expert now on Twitter as well, right? There's no way that, I mean, look, that's the thing with us. Again, if we don't talk about Lazio, it's because we haven't watched a Lazio game for a couple of weeks, right? I have no fucking take on them. You know what I mean? I don't know who Serginho is. I haven't watched Lazio since the turn of the year. I'd rather talk about Federico Marchetti having his car crashed by Signor Dami Chiavi. And that's what it is, you know. That's where it's never good to force your knowledge or force a take. Okay. I think we're gonna have a lot of fun with this, man. We've got a five-a-side that we want to get to. And this was your idea. We are gonna give you listeners a five-a-side of players who belong on Love Island or on any reality TV show. But really just like the trashy, debaucherous kind. So I'm thinking Love Island, X on the Beach, Jersey Shore, Geordie Shore, Big Brother, Too Hot to Handle, all that shit. That's what we're doing here. Okay, so these guys belong on one of those fucking reality TV shows, and they belong in a Fashion Nova, sponsored ad on Instagram. And they belong in British tabloid and in e-news articles. Okay, that's what we're going for here. So this was Sharma's idea. This was on you, Uncle Sharma. This is a fucking brilliant idea. Nick and I have a fucking bank of ideas for five aside segments. But what we usually do is we go to our guests and we'll say, "Do you have anything that you would like to do?" And usually they'll say, "I don't know." We suggest something. You came in hot with this shit. Okay.
Man's not hot.
So without further ado, I'm gonna let you kick it off. Again, it is the five aside of players that belong on Love Island.
Well, yeah, so many candidates over the years, especially Calcio, I think it has been full of these types of characters over the years. And
we're gonna have fun with this.
This one, I reckon we'll probably have a bit of overlap, so we have a few backups just in case. But I have to kick it off. Actually, in goal, it could have been Tommaso Berni. That was gonna be my first pick.
That's such a good call. Yeah. On Big Brother, I could see him on Big Brother.
Yeah, he's like the guy they all talk to. You know, he's the one that everyone's friendly with. You know, the guy that, you know,
professione calciatore. Yeah. But like not really. You know?
And he would get to the final of Big Brother as well, because everyone likes him. You know, he's the lovable guy.
Bald.
He'll get to the final. He might not win it, but he'll get to the final. He's got his hippie way of, like, you know, his Instagram posts. He posts things like he's naked but doing the yoga pose, you know, meditating. And he seems like his wife is like on the same wavelength as him. And he used to get red carded for not even being, like, he wasn't even on the pitch. I think he had
more red cards than appearances. That's the famous stat. That's the famous stat. And I think Carlo Pinzolio is on a dangerously close path to matching that stat, I should say, of having more red cards than appearances. But unfortunately, usually when we've had the title wrapped up the past couple of years, he gets an appearance like the last game of the season.
Oh.
So if he just gets three of those, that's a lot of red cards he has to make up. That's four red cards he needs to get. Quick math.
I think he's more famous for being the Ronaldo Bumchum, the Cristiano Bumchum these days.
100%. 100%.
In goal, I've got Tommaso Berni.
Okay. I've got... So, and here's the thing. There are a bunch of like lower division... Oh, fuck. Should we keep this to like guys who have really had an impact in the top flight?
Nah.
Oh, okay. Cause there's, okay. Okay. Look, I'll start off. I'm going to be honest with you. Carlo Pinzolio would be a great pick, but I didn't have him down I didn't have him down. And it would be a little bit, yeah, it'd be too cheap. It'd be too cheap of me to take him just because you mentioned Tommaso Berni, and because I think it would be perfect to have Carlo Pinzolio as well, because I really do think he would fit in on like a big brother type show. Mm-hmm. But I won't pick Carlo Pinzolio just for the sake of tactics. I'm going to put an outfield player in goal. I'm going to start off with Rick Karsdorp in goal for a number of reasons. Okay, this guy.
Karsdorp.
This guy looks like a fucking... looks like a fucking mutant. Okay, he looks like a prisoner. He's got tattoos up to wazoo, all the way up his neck. He's got what Nick and I like to refer to as a turtleneck tattoo. So, you know, you have sleeves. He's got a turtleneck, full just dark sleeves, like piercing green eyes. And he's got, I don't know if he has bad teeth. I think he's got them fixed, but like, I don't know if I might have seen him wearing a grill once, or maybe his smile is very distinctive. Looks like he has like almost like vampire, like sharp teeth. But point is, he looks right out of a Boohoo Man or like a Fashion Nova or like an ASOS, ad. He looks straight out of an ASOS. He looks like straight out of an ASOS ad. He strikes me as the fucking type that would go on Jordy Shore. He actually looks a lot like Aaron Chalmers from Jordy Shore. The same fucking tattoos and whatnot, same hairstyle. He's just blonde. I think his wife is like some super curvy, probably surgically enhanced brunette who granted he has a kid with. I'm not saying his relationship with her is on the fritz, but you got to think like. You could see it going downhill. They're both posting a lot on Instagram and shit. You know, they both appear very image driven anyway. I don't know them, but you could see the relationship going on the fritz and him going on like a fucking tear and winding up on Love Island and then, or like X on the beach. And then, you know, his ex comes back to haunt him, or I could just see it. And then he's posting ads for accumulators on Instagram and Boohoo Man muscle
crypto mining
and muscle fit ads. He totally fits the bill. Again, Rick Karsdorp, just look him up. He looks like a guy that belongs on one of those fucking series, 100% bar none. So I'll start off with him. I think that's a strong place to start off.
Yeah, nice one.
But by the way, I could see all these guys posting ads like that. So I'm not going to repeat that for each and every one. I think that's almost one of the prerequisites of kind of being in this category and making it into one of these five asides. But I think it's especially true of Karsdorp and fashion and the whole idea of like the Boohoo Man fucking ASOS ads. I think it really hits home with him. So I'll start off with Rick Karsdorp.
Yeah, Berni would be probably selling like CBD oil or something.
That's a good call. He would be more of a holistic one. I could see him more on like a big brother. All the guys I picked are like very heavily tattooed, I'm realizing now, which is another requisite. Okay. Number two for you, Sharma, starting at center half.
Well, he's a center half, but he used to be a forward. So I'm picking a guy who used to play, and I'm picking him when he was in his prime, which is Christian Vieri, back in his pomp.
You stole him from me. I had him. So I'm gonna have to defer to one of my backup ones. That is incredible. Attaccare la figa. Che fatica la vita da bomber. Sono bomber. Shave like a bomber. He's got the ads too. Did you ever see his fucking Gillette ads? Shave like a bomber.
And now he's on the Twitch as well. He's a Twitch streamer as well.
He is on Twitch. Do you remember when Vieri? Just his social media presence fucking meets that bill. Again, he's still a bachelor. He's like 46 years old now. He's dated models for years, his entire career. You remember a few years ago when Graziano Pelle signed in China and the Chinese Super League was just, it was on a mad thing, man. Yeah. Everyone was signing there and he thought he could fucking cut it. He posted a video on Instagram of him running. He goes, "Good morning, everyone." He goes, "Big news. Telegiornale di Formentera in Ibiza. Bobo is back. Ho deciso di andare a giocare in Cina. 2 months ago, I was 101 kilos. Ora sono 91. Perso 10 kg. I need to lose another 10 kilos and I'll be back. Sono pronto. Have a nice day." Like he was fucking eye of the tiger. He's like, "I'm doing it. I'm coming back to play in China."
That Bobo Cup.
Beach volleyball with Marco Borriello.
Yeah, all of his friends could be part of this list, you know, Borriello, Ventola, all those guys.
Okay, so starting at center back for me is Marco Borriello. There, let's start off there. The man owns a club in Ibiza. I think when he decided he wanted to hang up his boots, he decided to go play football there. He decided to play football for CD Ibiza, I think in like the third division, and he wound up becoming part owner of the club. I think he might be their presidente now. I swear to God, he lives there. Or at least lives there part time, and he just absolutely fits the bill of somebody who should be on a reality TV show, because he's good looking, he's fully tatted up the ass, and yeah. he's got no shame. He's got the social media game, and I don't know. He's got that it factor. Marco Borriello, if you know who he is, I think it'd be very hard to disagree with that. So.
Definitely. Those two, Vieri for me and Borriello for
no
you.
No one's disagreeing with Marco Borriello or Cristian Vieri, understanding the context of where it is they come from. And in fact, it's relevant that we did them back to back because they do a lot of shit together.
Yeah, yeah. They are like good friends, aren't they? And all the women probably would flock to them in the show, whatever show we put them in. They would pull in left, right, and center.
Marco Borriello would be like the token. He would be the token Napoletano too, like on the show, right? You always have the token. In UK television, you have the token Northerner, you have the token guy from Newcastle or from Tyneside. In the US, you have the token like guy from, you'll have like the token guy from Texas or the token Southerner. Just someone that's got a very different way of speaking. I don't know. I can see it. Number three for you. So your first midfielder.
Right. So I'm going for Maxi Lopez.
That's a good call. Wow. We're on a fucking similar wavelength here. Yeah. We're on a really similar wavelength.
The Maxi Lopez who got cocked by Mauro Icardi. No need to explain that one. I'm sure everyone's familiar with that situation.
That's a great call. That's an incredible call because... I actually had Mauro Icardi on my list as well. So we'll start him in midfield. I could totally see Mauro Icardi winding up on a reality TV show, and it would be really funny if he wound up on a fucking show with Maxi Lopez, because that would be the exact thing that you would look to see on like a Celebrity Big Brother. They wind up in the Big Brother house together, and they finally have to hash it out, or they're on X on the beach, and like Wanda comes back into the fucking fray after like she and Icardi were to get a divorce in theory or something, and they wind up, I don't know, they wind up all being back in the same room. That would so happen. If any producers have any idea what they're doing, that would be fantastic. That'd be perfect.
Or he could go on to that tattoo fixes one when he's if he ever ends up leaving Wanda, because he's got like a big ass tattoo of Wanda's name, I think. So he'd have to go on that tattoo fixes show. I don't know if you guys have that.
Just tattoo of us. It's like it's an MTV show. It's garbage.
Oh,
reality
shit. Oh, okay.
TV.
I thought it was your pun then.
No. You guys reign supreme. MTV in the UK, I think, reigns supreme for garbage reality TV. okay, so I'll go with Icardi for similar reasons that you went with Maxi Lopez, but just for the opposite side of the paradigm.
Yeah.
So your second
up against each other, it would be mayhem. Yep,
it'd be a bloodbath. It'd be a fucking bloodbath. It'd be a party and a bloodbath all in one. So your second midfielder.
Oof, I'm undecided on this one. I've got a few guys. It's between two guys that are very similar, Rajo Nainggolan and Arturo Vidal.
Oh, no, you got to go with Nainggolan.
Yeah, I have to go with Nainggolan because
Vidal doesn't fit it as much.
You need a drunkard in there. You need someone that will start the party. Yeah.
It's fucking ripping chais all day.
To create drama and like just create ruckus out of nowhere. So I'll go with the Rajo Nainggolan, tattooed, heavy drinker, not very dedicated to his footballing career, but big party guy, and I'm sure he'll be on Big Brother,
big entertainer.
Even on Love Island, I think he'll be all right as well.
That'd be absolutely incredible. I like that pick. I like where your team is going with this one, with this whole idea. This is a fucking fantastic idea. And you know what's cool is we're leaving a lot of really good ones out. We may have to just do a really quick couple of honorable mentions when we get done with this segment here. So I've got two more. You got one more. My second midfielder will have to be. I'll give it to Theo Hernandez because. Well, there are a couple of reasons. One is he fits the bill. He speaks multiple languages. I think you would really do well on a French reality show. And they have a lot of really good ones in France too. They have a lot of really big, big reality TV shows in France.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, much like in Italy, much like the UK, it's quite big there. He would be great on Celebrity Big Brother in France. I really do think so. He doesn't actually speak French very well. That's the thing, because he was raised in Spain. So he was born in France to French parents, but he was raised in Spain, and his whole schooling experience was in Spain. And I think a good test is, what language do you speak to yourself in your own head, or do you think to yourself in? It's very clear that he and Lucas both are like Spanish first, but I think that would work. He's from Marseille, which would kind of fit in with like the, with what they tend to do on those French reality shows. They often, much like you'll have like a token guy from Texas or from Newcastle or from Napoli. They'll have a token couple of people from Marseille, because they're generally more fiery and a little bit more interesting. They have a lot of people from the Iberian Peninsula that actually. And from the Maghreb in Northern Africa that grew up there, that migrated there. So they, I don't know, the people there are generally a little bit more, are seen as a little bit more exotic. And I think he definitely fits that bill. He's got the blonde bleached hair a lot of the time. And to top it all off, the thing that really sells it for me anyway is his girlfriend. I think her name is Zoe Cristofoli. She is tatted up to wazoo as well. She's got neck tats and whatnot. And she was spotted giving him a BJ on a yacht in the summer, which is just unreal, because that's exactly something that a reality star would get caught doing and wind up on the front cover of a tabloid for, just, you know, with a really punny title, just with you know, so and so of Love Island had no shame as they frolicked on their yacht in Amalfi, she proceeded to pleasure him. Bro, I mean, it looked like it could have been a scene out of a reality TV show, actually. We're like
that could be just on Too Hot to Handle, because you get like money taken away every time you do a sexual act on that show.
I could definitely see that. They could be a really good Too Hot to Handle couple. So Theo Hernandez for me, he fits into a bunch of different reality TV shows. Your last one, Sharma.
Fuck, this is difficult. Ugh, so many that I'm going to leave out. I'll go for, just because he's back playing football at Monza. You know who it is. MB9, Mario Balotelli.
I'm happy that we didn't leave him out, because I was going to have to leave him out of my team. He was not going to be my final pick, but I had him as an honorable mention. That's a great pick.
Yeah, this guy, he's just, you know, headlines wherever he goes. Even he just can't help it. You know, he tries to, I've seen him trying to, you know, stay away from the headlines and try to be more calm.
He'd be so good for ratings too. He'd be so good for ratings of the show.
Just can't help it. He's just, and he actually, he wasn't technically on Big Brother, but he went because his brother,
Balotelli. Yeah, Enoch. So did you see that clip of him giving an interview, I think, in the live room in front of the audience a few months ago?
Yeah. This girl says something to him, he's too big for you, obviously referring to his member.
I think she said something about, I forget what the fuck it was, but he turned it dirty and said,
yeah.
And said, no, mi dici basta fai male, or something like that.
Like,
no.
That was exactly it. Yeah.
He turned it dirty. No, she wasn't talking. She wasn't talking about sex, but he turned it dirty. And everyone just kind of like awkwardly looks around, like all the guys are like,
oh, no, I remember now, because like, she said, you're not coming in. He's like, non vieni the intro. He's like, oh, no, tu dici basta, fa troppo male.
So he said that, and then every single guy in the audience is just kind of like kissing their teeth, just biting their lips, trying not to laugh. And the fucking girls are looking around like, did he just really say that? And he doesn't care. He's fucking dying laughing, like he's laughing at himself. Mi dici basta fai male. he just fucking cracks up.
He'd be just gold. Whichever reality TV show, he'd be like gold for ratings.
100%. My last one, starting up top for me, I probably could have reversed it. I probably could have reshuffled this a little bit so that it would have made a little more tactical sense, because I think this guy played/plays as a center back. He plays in the Eccellenza now, so I don't really think anyone's gonna come after me for it. But it's Davide Iovinella, aka Davide Montana. Of course, everyone knows Davide Montana as being the footballer who entered the Rocco Siffredi Academy a few years ago. He's back playing football, as we alluded to a few podcasts back. He has declined to answer any requests. He has not responded to any requests of ours for media presence. We've tried to get him on the podcast. He has not opened or responded to our DMs. After he opened up his DMs, he was on private for a while, but it's a real shame. But I think the guy's playing in Campania for an Eccellenza side right now. He was playing in Serie D when he decided to go into porn, and he would just be absolutely incredible on reality TV because, again, he's a lower division footballer who did porn. I mean, he fits the bill of the type of person that you would want on like Big Brother, and he would be quote unquote celebrity Big Brother, but he wouldn't really be a celebrity, which is what you typically tend to get on celebrity Big Brother. They're not like A-listers; they're just people that are like sort of. They're the sort that have like a bit of Instagram presence, I guess. But I actually think that he's the most realistic person out of everyone we listed that might ever go on a reality TV show. That's the thing.
I reckon Balotelli will end up on one.
There's a very good chance that he will, but I think that, bro, I mean, the guy's a lower division footballer.
Yeah.
Who did porn with Rocco Siffredi? Yeah. it's like three factors there. So lower division footballer, and he's already in show business. So
that's a good one.
Exactly, Davide Montana. Honorable mention to me for Andrea Petagna, who I mentioned in every fucking five-a-side. I couldn't do it. I guess I was thinking maybe Fabio Borini, just because. The guy spent a lot of time in the UK, and I could see him. Here's the thing: I could see him going onto a UK reality TV show as Fabio Borini, Italian exotic Italian whose English like kind of sucks, which you see sometimes. But yeah. Anyway, he didn't make the cut because I thought it was a bit of a stretch. But yeah. So just to recap, you've got Tommaso Berni, Christian Vieri, Raja Nainggolan, Maxi Lopez and Mario Balotelli. That's a really good fucking reality TV lineup right there. I've got Rick Karsdorp, Marco Borriello, Mauro Icardi, and Teo Hernandez, all backing Davide Iovinella, aka Davide Montana. Say hello to my little friend up top, the porn star. Okay, this was good. This was a lot of fun, man. This was a lot of fucking fun.
That's honorable mention to Castano for me. I don't know, like he would have been, you know, perfect for this, but maybe he's I think these guys are better for the ones we picked are better. But Castano, if it was like something about, you know, back in his prime days,
like 20 years ago, Castano could have totally been on one 100%. Yeah. But I think where reality TV is gone now, I think he'd be a fucking dinosaur on one of those shows. Isn't he like really fat now too? Hasn't he put on a ton of weight?
He's probably in better shape than he was when he was playing. But I watch Bobo TV. Looks alright
when he was okay. You Bobo TV when he was eating cornet when he was eating cornetti in the hotels in Madrid, having them delivered between boning sessions. Yeah, okay, I can see that. So again, this is a lot of fun, Sharma. Thanks for suggesting this topic for our five aside this week again. Great segment, a lot of fucking fun, and. Yeah, man, it was cool to have you on. I appreciate you filling in for Nick, and we'll look forward to see what happens in the Derby d'Italia on the weekend. Hopefully, neither of us are going to be too traumatized by whatever the hell happens. And I don't know. There's a very good chance that one of us is going to be sucking our thumb, rocking back and forth on Sunday night, but. Much love to you, even though I wish that upon you.
No, thank you, man. Thank you for having me on. And yeah, as I said, I've listened to you guys on a weekly basis. You guys made it into my Spotify Wrapped top 5 for podcasts.
Thank you, man.
So yeah, that was proof. It was proof that I listened to you guys.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. So, listeners, get at us on all platforms at Cultural Podcast on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter at Cultural Podcast. Our Facebook page is The Cultural Podcast. Share it with your older relatives. Go for it. Go nuts. We don't care. We're on all major listening platforms. You know that if you listen to this podcast all the way through. So please subscribe so you can get notified every time that we do drop an episode. Sharma, thanks again for joining us again. You can get at Sharma on YouTube. He is Uncle Sharma, and on Twitter at rsharms with two Zs. We will tag him in the description of this podcast and on Twitter, again, at Cultural Podcast. Sharma, thanks for joining us for this 110th episode. And to many more, man, much continued success to you. And good luck to your club this season, but not too much luck.
Thank you, man. Forza Inter.
All the best. Listeners, we'll catch you next week. We'll be back then. Okay. Till next time, ciao. Ora inizio, mi vogliono solo perché ho vinto. Una pecora nera per la mia famiglia, mille di casini da bimbo. Credi che fingo è lungo il mio libro. Addosso pietra alla freestone, sul palazzo più alto alla King Kong. Corri forte, amo correre rischio, mula I tuoi amici fanno i criminali, ma le 10 sono tutti quanti a letto. Sto pensando a fare solo peso, col tuo pezzo mi viene rigetto. Il mio flero deve lavorare, quindi taglia borse con un taglio net. Plaza baby, faccio il pallonetto. Sul moonwalk come Michael Jackson, Ballin, tiro da tre alla Kobe Bryant. Homie, come sbagliate chi sbaglia paga. Yeah, yeah, sopra si rapper è una sfilata. Yeah, yeah, tu scambi sangue con marmellata. Metto le mezzo margella sul tavolo, 8 comando, sono bello carico. Avevo 4 visto in matematica, ora più numeri di un matematico. Adios, mi manda fuori se non...